The time is 2:06, currently overcast skies and 34 degrees in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up on the program in just a couple of moments, we'll be joined by Nancy Tabaka to talk about a whole bunch of great stuff going on and some stuff that's maybe not as great, but a lot of issues to talk about, as Wausau is actually a pretty busy place here for the next couple of days. Got Governor Tony Evers holding a budget listening session over at Maine Elementary School at 5:30 this afternoon. And Senator Tammy Baldwin is actually coming into town tomorrow as well. So a lot of activity going on here in the early part of January. We'll talk to Nancy Tabaka here in just a couple of moments. Also, before we go any further, need to remind you again that we just announced this yesterday with Civic Media. It's a $1 million advertising giveaway. We want to show you the power of Civic Media and the power of Bow Falls Radio 98.9. It's a chance for businesses, especially small businesses, but all businesses based here in Wisconsin and hopefully here in central Wisconsin, to get your message out. And for free. Yep. Our bosses, Sage Weil, Mike Crute, are giving away $1 million of advertising throughout the Civic Media Network. It's going to be occurring on one day in terms of signing up. On Thursday, January 26th, so 2 weeks from today, we're going to be talking about it between now and then. And then on Thursday, January 26th, you'll be able to fill out an application for a piece of our giveaway. And you'll have a chance to work with the Civic Media sales team to create a radio advertising campaign promoting your business across the network for free. And the minimum amount that any of the advertisers that are chosen in terms of get the before the $1 million runs out is $5,000. You get a $5,000 sales package to be aired here on Bow Falls Radio. But if you have offices outside of Wausau and want to hit some of the other Civic Media stations as well, you'll be able to do that. So again, the $1 million advertising giveaway starts on Thursday, January 26th at 9 p.m. Some rules apply. So again, they're basically for Wisconsin businesses. That's what we want to be promoting. So you can get the full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million. Again, that's civicmedia.us/million. And be sure to let everyone you know that you heard about the $1 million advertising giveaway on my show, because there's going to be a Dropbox. And that's going to ask you where you heard it, and it'll make me look good to the bosses. And we want to look good to the bosses, I tell you that much. Nancy Tabaka, I've been promoting you at 2:15, but you're here early, and I appreciate that. So we're going to bring you on early, and good to see you again.
Very good to be here again. Thanks.
Last going on, and I mentioned the fact that the governor's here in town today at 5:30, which is always exciting. The thing I like about it, I mentioned this to you right before we went on the air, is that the governor really talks to people. He listens to people. And I go back to, I've talked about this in the past, where we had the hearing on the maps. Every 10 years we do the maps. And Robin Voss presented the maps. And nobody spoke in favor of it. Because basically, Robin Voss doesn't care what the people think. He doesn't care to get people to even come there and pretend to like those maps. The governor, on the other hand, he listens, and you get a chance to talk to the governor too, right?
Fair, he does. I actually attended last night on Zoom, and we broke out into, I think there's five different topics: healthcare, education, infrastructure, environment, economy.
Yeah, I got his stuff here.
And he'll tell you right out, he's not a huge speaker. He is there to listen, and he truly does listen.
And that means so much to me, at least. I just, I wish more people appreciated that as opposed to the celebrity aspect, the blowhard aspect that we have so much of these days.
It validates people. They feel like they're being heard. They get a chance to actually speak. We all got a chance to speak last night.
And the thing about it as well, you said it, there's different areas. We don't hear that from the Republican leaders. They're so narrowly focused on a couple of different areas. It's usually tax policy, and it's usually as well crime and other things that kind of tear people apart.
They do a lot of fear-mongering. They're worried that, you know, somebody's going to get your last dollar. You better watch them. And as you alluded to before, the FAIR Maps, we are doing a thing this weekend at the Universalist Church on FAIR Maps. We have Carlene Betchen coming up, and she's just been tremendous in this all along. And just doing a huge strategy session to see, you know, what are our next steps? What can we do going forward?
We got to take a quick break here, and we'll come back to the start, the official start of our discussion with Nancy Tabaka again. And again, for folks here in Wausau, I think you mentioned there's no way to get back. They're sold out for tonight, aren't they? Or in terms of not sold out, but for reservations.
I hate to say that. I mean, yeah, when you go online, there is a phone number, and I would simply call it because I don't want to say that because I don't want people to not show up.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, boy, it's always cool. I mean, the governor, I think he's cool, even though he doesn't think he's cool.
I love him.
Absolutely. It's great to have 4 more years at least for Governor Tony Evers. We'll have more with Nancy coming up here in just a moment here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. Again, joined by Nancy Tabaka. And Nancy, there's a number of different areas we can jump into, but let's talk about the budget, because I do think that over the next few months, it's going to be something that is talked about a lot. That's what the governor's trying to get ideas on. It's not what Robin Voss is not giving ideas on, because he knows what he wants to do already. But
That's true. But he doesn't care what you think.
Okay, you're sitting across from Governor Tony Evers.
Mm-hmm.
Because budgets are what are always priorities.
Yes.
What are your priorities? And no matter what budget, whether it's your home budget, whether it's your governmental budget, it is what are your priorities? And when we have this budget surplus, so we have opportunities now in the state of Wisconsin. If Tony Evers is sitting across, instead of me sitting here with Governor Evers, and said, Nancy, what are the priorities for this budget that I should be fighting for? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, it's the first couple of things that come to mind to me is health care, because we are like the only state in the Midwest that has not accepted the federal funding, and it is so important. Health care is a basic human right, and education, which I don't think the governor would ever argue with good public education. And then we have the environment, which is huge. Everything from the PFAS problems to, you know, find out where these are originating, which we are finding out, like states like Colorado has banned any of their drilling fluids that could possibly have PFAS in them, to, like here, we have the possibility of exploratory drilling. And going into a more greener economy, things have to be done with the utmost thought of the environment. Otherwise, to me, you're just trading one dirty energy for another. And then we have infrastructure, which includes broadband. And you get, you know, 30 miles out of town, you don't have the same service you and I have here in town, which is very huge. And then, of course, there is our justice system. Do you spend, you know, $50 a day on a kid to help a kid, or do you spend $100 a day incarcerating them?
I want to ask you quickly about because I came across it when I was going through a lot of stuff this afternoon, thinking about areas I wanted to talk about during the program, and came across a story about the Republicans are talking again about changing the bail system and again politicizing, I think, what's been going on. I find the idea, again, that the whole point is equal justice under law. And every change seems to take us a little further away when these ideas come through. In terms of justice, what can we do? Because I find that to be, again, one of the major problems that I don't think gets talked about in the same way that crime gets talked about in the ways that they talk about it. I'm talking about justice, making lives better. What can we do? Because you hear these ideas coming again from the Republicans, and they just want to pack prisons. And yeah. It really gets me angry. And the idea, I mean, I keep waiting for them to bring in the for-profit prisons into Wisconsin, to be honest with you.
An empty bed does not make money.
Exactly. But when you talk about that part of where we are in Wisconsin, what ideas would you have?
Well, my ideas are, you know, start early, like where you're finding, you know, kids that are kind of gone off the beaten path or whatever, you can bring them back in before things really escalate and they become an adult and things get really bad. And then when you look at the bail system, yes, we do have a responsibility to keep the public safe. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think we have to look at the economic justice and just what I can afford versus what maybe somebody with limited means can afford. Mm. And so if you can't afford the bail, if you don't have a friend that can bail you out with, then I guess you just sit. I mean, is that the way we're going to do things? That's not right either.
That's the way it has been done. I mean, frankly,
yeah,
I mean,
it
really is.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, if you're wealthy, you're going to get bail. If you're not wealthy,
you're going to sit.
And you're going to sit. It really is. You can have any bail, and you're going to sit. It really is that way, and it's an unfair system.
And it
should come down to the fact is this person a danger to the society?
Yes.
Then they should.
Exactly.
I mean, it should not be about the bail keeping them in. It should be about that.
About what has happened.
Exactly.
I totally agree.
Exactly right. Something I was thinking about in recent weeks since the election and hearing what the Republicans have been talking about in terms of sounding like they're almost accepting the fact that Tony Evers is the governor after 4 years, because we're in a system where the first time you win, if you're a Democrat, it doesn't count. Then the second time, okay, we're going to start talking to you. We have issues that are very important. I think abortion is one that Republicans are, I think, a little nervous about keeping the current law, and they want to do something, but at the same time, keep an abortion ban. I wanted to ask you, in terms of maybe that issue and also other issues, how do you think the governor should work either with or against these Republicans? Because I think they're going to try to maneuver their way in a few of these different areas. But at the same time, the only, I guess, backstop we have right now is the governor because of the big majorities in the state legislature. But I've been trying to figure out what's the best way to go about it. I guess if you're sitting across from the governor, because the abortion aspect, you see Robin Voss on television sounding like, I'm making a very reasonable proposal to add these exceptions, but basically leave the ban in place. And the governor is being unfair by not even discussing it.
He is discussing it.
Of course he is.
And Josh Call both are just tremendous. They're looking deep into this because you have to be careful how you address this. We don't want that 1849 law on the books, but we don't want to do something that's going to jeopardize women's health even further. Mm-hmm. And women in this election turned out in droves, which is good. You know, they need to keep being heard. There's another women's march coming up on the 22nd, I believe it is. I know there is an in-person march in Minocqua. I'm not sure if WASA at this point is doing anything. There's one in Madison. And we need to keep making our voices heard that we are not going to sit back for this. There are women that have never known anything different. I mean, I was in high school already when Roe v. Wade was first passed. But I look at my daughter, she's always had this. And they cannot believe what they've lost, you know, because they've never known the way it used to be. And to grasp that concept is really hard. And to stand up and say, no, we're not going to take this. And it's I don't even think it's an abortion issue. It is the Republicans' issue about control over women.
Yes, 100%. And frankly, I think looking ahead, the path to change is probably through the Attorney General. You're not going to get Republicans the numbers that we would need to pass something with the majorities they have.
Correct.
So, I mean, what they're trying to do is maneuver the governor into signing something that would basically invalidate what the Attorney General's trying to do, and they're trying to use it against the governor to try to act as somebody that's reasonable when they're not being reasonable. They're trying to pass an abortion ban.
Right.
That's what they're trying to do. And there's no way a Democratic governor can sign anything like that.
No. We have got the best attorney general out there. He's well thought out. He's not going to jump at some first opportunity that comes along. You know, the wheels are in motion. They're looking at ways of combating this.
And you mentioned another women's march coming, and I think that's vitally important because, I mean, yes, as time goes by, it's hard to believe, but, I mean, you know, we're going to be going into we'll get through winter, and then all of a sudden it's going to be spring, and then summer again, and we'll be thinking, man, it's been a year since
this has happened. Right.
So, and sometimes time seems to, you know, take away a little of the fire in some areas. Boy, in an area like this, the fire has to burn just as bright,
yeah,
correctly.
Right. We got to pour a little bit more gas on it. We got to keep it going. And in March here in Wausau, we will be having with Building Unity. The place is yet to be determined, but we're going to be asking whoever our candidates are going into the April election for Supreme Court some direct issues on reproductive health and reproductive rights and bodily autonomy. And we'll also be having just what is available out there in the area for women.
What is available for women right now?
Not much.
I know.
In the state of Wisconsin.
That is the scary part, isn't it?
It's scary. I mean, even like for a morning after pill, it's just they keep trying to chisel away more and more. Meanwhile, every other state around us is extremely busy. I have a friend who has a daughter that works in a clinic, and they're so overwhelmed, it isn't funny.
How would I put this? Why is there not more? I guess why do so many people still vote for people that support this? I don't understand it. I honestly don't. And when I read people that said, well, Mandela Barnes came so close against an incumbent senator, I'm thinking this incumbent senator is a crazy man, and yet
right?
He won by a point. What you talk to a lot of people in the communities. What's your sense of why there is not the connection? In terms of when you think about that, when you think about for 50 years, what we had these freedoms for women, and they've been all taken away, and yet, yes, there was some blowback. I think the numbers show it.
Yeah.
But frankly, there should have been more blowback.
I agree. I don't. There's so many of us that are walking around just shaking our head, thinking the same thing. You know, where is the outrage?
Extreme
outrage. And on the abortion topic and on so many other things, too, that, yes, you can say, oh, Mandela Barnes came in with more percentage points than anybody else. But you have to stop and think, like, I know when we go back to, like, the 2020 race, I think it was 30% of the people that voted for Tony Evers also turned around and voted for Ron Johnson, or voted against their interest in other races. And I don't know. When you talk to them about issues, they get it. They're just behind you 100%. And then they turn around and they go and vote Republican. And it's like, I don't understand the disconnect either. And so many of us don't.
And that's why we got to talk about it, I guess, more
yes,
and more.
Yes, more and more.
Because, you know, you don't know when that switch may click. I guess
yeah.
That's the only hope, because otherwise it does get to be where you're shaking your head all the time. Because I do hear some people, oh, yeah, you did pretty well, but it's like, you should have done better.
Because, right.
Because he was right on the issues. He was right. He clean the floor with them when they were in debates. I mean, it was like, you know.
And you've got pockets up north. I want to say Oneida County did really well.
Yeah.
And was it Vilas was the other one?
It's like really odd.
There's
sense,
something,
you know?
They did up there. they worked their tail ends off,
yeah,
for one thing. But there's something they did up there that grabbed attention.
We got to take a quick break for a news update. We're going to talk about some, I think, some issues very close to your heart and close to your sweatshirt as you're wearing here today, and talk some local issues, because this week, again, a lot of talk about homelessness. We're going to talk about that. Coming up with Nancy Tabaka in just a few moments. Thursday night, the Marathon High School girls basketball team travels to Auburndale. Hear all the exciting action live on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, starting with pregame show at 7 and opening tip at 7:15. Marathon High School basketball on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Clover Belt Credit Union, Sun Printing, the Dirks Group, Brickner's of Little Chicago, Fisher Transportation, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Tony Materials, Twin Forest Products, the Marathon Athletic Club, Marathon Chief, Marathon City Sports Center, Marathon Family Dentistry, Marathon Park City, Mark's Chiropractic, and People's State Bank. It's Marathon at Auburndale in high school girls basketball. Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening tip at 7:15 on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Home Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. I saw the light. We need more people seeing the light. And somebody that sees the light, Nancy Tabaka, with us here on this Thursday afternoon. And Nancy, I mentioned before the break, wearing a sweatshirt. Save the Menominee River.
Yes.
No mine.
No mine.
And I know you have this week a conference, correct?
Yeah, well, we have, there's always something going on.
Next week conference, right?
Yeah, okay. Next week. It's the Rights of Nature, which is held by Wisdom Group, and Anaquat, Guy Ryder, who's with the Menominee, has brought this up, and it is something that has been adopted by other countries as well, that, you know, a lot of these mining companies come in, they destroy things, they remediate as they can, and Guy has come forward and he has said, you know, it needs to be put back exactly the way you found it. You know, nature has rights as well.
Could I ask you a question? You said, you know, other countries, and I've thought about this. Is there a country somewhere around the world that does it right in terms of the environment that you know of? Or comes closer to it?
I was actually surprised the more I learned about this subject, because there was like Ecuador was one of them, which, you know, even in my way of thinking, I was thinking like, well, the United States would be, you know, better at doing things than Ecuador would be, wouldn't they? Not necessarily. And there's European countries that have adopted this already. Even Canada is starting to really entrench themselves in this.
And the idea of these mining companies just coming in, we're just going to explore a little bit. It all makes no sense.
Well, we don't know if there's PFAS in drilling fluids. And so you're going to let that touch the ground and then we'll just worry about polluted wells later? I don't think so. Look at the problems we already have. You know, you look at our roads and what it costs to fix roads, mm-hmm. and just the additional traffic that comes in and where you're drilling, like here in the Wausau area, just it's up by the reef deposit, is just below the Dells of Eau Claire. There's another deposit they're looking at in Taylor County, which is in the Chequamegon Forest. And then, of course, like my T-shirt says, it's right next to the Menominee River, which goes right into Green Bay.
Do you find any irony in the fact of the folks that are very upset about water rates, don't really care about why we get to this point?
Yeah, we need to start looking at. Yes, you should be angry about it.
There's A, B, and C. Where did it start? We're at C right now.
Yeah.
Where was A?
Follow the money of why we got to this point. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not.
Where did it come from?
It's not the folks that pollute that ultimately pay. It's the people that ultimately pay.
In every instance.
And they usually make a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, and you look, a lot of people will say, well, you know, the EPA is stepping in. Well, whose tax dollars are paying for the EPA?
And the idea, again, I talked about this with a guest earlier in the week. The idea of the people that hate regulation. You know what regulation is? It's rules. We all have to follow rules.
We have lot of GOP people that are out there. There's another one that's trying to play a Tom Tiffany in Minnesota to reduce the permitting. Let's get this expedited. And I think a lot of people very innocently look at it and say, yeah, there's so many rules that we're caught up in rules that we never get anything done. Well,
there are some rules that are vitally important.
Yes, there is.
Because, again, I just don't understand this idea that no rules are good. That's good for the people that have the money and able to find the loopholes. That's the way it is. You know,
that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And you and I are the ones that will suffer.
Exactly. And, again, it's just it's shaking the head just thinking about it.
Yep.
Exactly right. Homelessness.
It's a huge issue.
It is a huge issue here in our backyard.
Yes, it is.
And this week, the Wausau City Council, and I said this off the air, the idea of having a debate to even talk about it.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Right.
Talking about issues are the first step. One keeps
putting it on the other. And, working in the field prior to my retirement, you know, I cannot say enough good about, like, Everest Metro or Wausau PD. They are so well trained. They do such a fabulous job for somebody who it really shouldn't have to be their job to do. And nobody by choice is going to live outside when it's 30 below. Right. We have serious mental health issues, and I think we just need, there is, the money's there, it's just we need to prioritize where we're going to put that money. And I cannot say enough good about Tom Killian and Gary Gisselman, who have stood up and said, enough's enough. We need to do something about this. And here in Wausau, too, there's a small group with the Poor People's Campaign, led by Bruce Grau, who are so concerned about this.
I saw a story here today. I'm just bringing it up on WSAW. Stevens Point Warming Center in need of volunteers after attendance doubles. It's not just Wausau. This is all over.
Right. You know, and I shouldn't say everybody, but if a lot of people would just give a few hours, since I retired, a friend of mine who works with a local church had got me, and she said, come on in, serve meals. Well, coming in and serving meals turned to helping with some intakes once in a while. And it came Christmas Day, and so many people said, oh, yeah, we're going to come and help at the homeless shelter on Christmas Day. And it turned out there was the manager and myself for the better part of the day. We need people to step up. And if they just, what is 3 hours out of your day?
It's a combination, isn't it? It really is. It's a combination of private doing the right thing and public doing the right thing. You can't solve a big problem in just one way. And I think that sometimes there can be, and again, I hate the both sidesism, but there can be sometimes where somebody thinks, well, it all can be done through governmental action. No, we as human beings have to do the right thing as well.
There is no greater gift that you can give than giving your time to somebody who needs it.
And you said it about, you know, I've been thinking, you know, this week I've been, you know, last weekend I was a little under the weather, and this week my voice has been lousy as anybody who's been tuned in. And I thought about that. It's like I get to go home and put on 3 blankets and lay in bed and try to, you know, take some medicine and get back. And I thought about this, and that there are people out there that are getting, you know, sick. They're out in the elements and with no shelter. It makes me emotional when I think about it, because
yeah. Nobody should have to live
right.
like that. Nobody.
And the idea that there are people out there who have power to do something,
yeah.
constantly fight it to give tax cuts to people who don't need it.
Right.
It really is. Right. It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. I mean, you know, as a city, yes, we need the nice amenities to draw people to come, to keep that revenue up there so that we can do other things. But when you have people in your city that don't even have their basic needs covered, there's something wrong.
If it doesn't affect you when you hear a story in your community that somebody died under a bridge,
yes,
something wrong.
Yeah. And hey, putting a fence around the bridge is not the answer to it either.
Right. So, again, people, we want everybody to succeed. That's what it comes down to. And along that line, going back to the budget and the idea of a flat tax, I heard Mr. Voss again. And again, I know that
he's never going to be our best friend anyway. Come on.
But he talked about, you know, the important. He's talking about thinking about people who have vacation homes in Arizona, yeah, about worrying about them. Yeah. I don't think you have a vacation home in Arizona. That
you don't fly
away from Wisconsin for the winter. I know I don't.
It's no.
And I'm thinking, this is your priority? You're thinking about this, that we got to make sure that the guy who goes, the multimillionaire who has a home in Wisconsin for the summer and then goes off to Arizona for the winter, has the tax policy to make him want to spend maybe a little more time in Wisconsin?
Right. I look at all of that, and like, I look how they want to.
And he also added real quickly, before I let you jump in, that really just drove me crazy. It was like, he goes, well, it's not about, you know, giving to the most wealthy, but there's nothing wrong with that either. But there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh. No, I look at all of it, even in anything, how things are calculated, like when it comes to Social Security monies. You know, like if I'm making, you know, I can't even remember what the cutoff is anymore, $125,000 a year or what, $140,000 a year.
Right.
If I'm making that kind of money, I certainly can afford to pay in. They're taking those benefits just like you and I would. They certainly can afford at that rate. And when you really start looking at this stuff, where is all this put on? It's put on the backs of the lower income of the working class people. They're the ones that are just funding everything.
Yeah. I mean, that is truly one of the most mind-boggling elements of our tax policy, the fact that Social Security, which is, I am a big history buff. People don't remember what it was like before Social Security for older people in this country. And we want to play games with Social Security because they, again, want to save a little money for those who
already have way too much money.
Right.
Yes.
And it's just, it's, and that's, again, it's just, you know, when you hear Republicans talk about saving, that's what Ron Johnson did during the last campaign. I want to save social. I mean, and they say it with a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
It really is pretty amazing, isn't it?
It really is. It is. And when you start taking money away from the working class and the people with lesser incomes, it's no wonder that you have the problems you have. And when it comes to, say, you know, like reduced lunches and whatnot, people cannot make ends meet anymore. And maybe that's where you need to start looking at why they can't make ends meet.
Yes, exactly. You know, and I found it also ironic, you know, that some would blame people making a little bit more money in their hourly rate jobs, making $15 an hour at a fast food place, blaming them for inflation.
Well, just remember, they're making your food.
Yeah, I mean, but they actually blamed the fact that some states in this country started to give people more money. The ones that actually went to work during the midst of the pandemic as well.
Yes, well, and it's work. All work has value,
and they blamed that for inflation, not the folks that are gouging the American people.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Some of those people that are working in fast foods are working two and three jobs.
Yes,
and all work has value, and when you think about it, you think that's a low-life job that shouldn't pay that kind of money, but yet you're eating what they make. So you better remember that.
And in this era, you see so many different big business cutting back, because the service, the stockholders.
Yeah. Why don't you start cutting from the top?
Exactly.
Like that sit in perpetual meetings all day long and go to nowhere.
And I know that you know the numbers about the CEO pay now compared to pre-Reagan. I mean, yes. basically the trickle-down revolution led to a lot of different things, and one of which was CEO pay going through the roof.
And the only thing that I really learned from it is trickle-down economics does not work.
And yet they still fight for it every day.
Every
of the week.
Time.
And that's what they're going to fight for in this next state budget as they try to push a flat tax.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
The flat tax is trickle-down 101. And hopefully the governor will be able to fight that back.
I certainly hope so.
But, I mean, again, the Republicans don't... If they went to a listening session, I doubt people say, yeah, that flat tax. Got to make sure that Dick Eline gets his tax cut.
They have listening sessions. You listen to them.
Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Nancy here on Bow Falls Radio. Welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Joined by Nancy Tabaka for this hour, talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. And I always apologize to my guests because I go off on tangents all the time with my discussions. I try not to go by a script, but something pops into my mind and I start talking about it and I let you fly back with whatever's on your mind. But again, you gave me some ideas. I'm going to start with a rare look at a script, but you talked about coming up. There's going to be a showing of the movie Plastic Horse.
That's going to be tonight at the UU Church. We have our UU Social Justice Committee, but anybody is welcome at 6 p.m. And Dan Barth, who's very big with the climate lobby, and I are showing these as part of the social justice. And in this state, I believe there is a law. They can't get rid of plastic bags in this state. And, you know, we just keep trying to bring
around. Think about that. Think about that, though. Instead of a law to try to make things better
for the environment,
they put out a law that actually makes you do things that are worse.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, really.
I mean, think about that.
We usually try to give people something to walk away with as well. I mean, not only to build awareness, which usually does. Dan is phenomenal when it comes to picking out some films on topics. But just to, as they walk away, maybe just even to mention it that every time you go into the grocery store, why are you using these damn plastic bags?
And that's basically the thing about it. Usually the supermarkets I go to, you actually have to walk to get something other than a plastic bag, because that's what they basically are. That is the default at most of the grocery stores around here, at least.
Because they're cheaper. And
what does... Have you seen Plastic Wars? Have you seen this movie?
Yes, I have.
Okay, what is the ultimate price that we're paying because of our abundance of plastic?
Our environment. Our environment. And, you know, COVID didn't help a lot of things either. I know I myself, like during COVID, you were not allowed to bring in your cloth bags into the stores and stuff, and now you have to get back into that habit of bringing them with you all the time. And but I think it's just one small step. And I know you go to Europe, and it's so much different, where you don't have as much of that waste like we have in this country.
The thing about our country sometimes, there's many, many great things about it, but sometimes we don't really like to learn from others.
we always seem
to think we do it the best way, but it's nothing wrong with learning a thing or two from somebody that maybe found something out.
Yes. Yeah, I think we're born to think that we are the best, the greatest nation, whatever. But there's a lot we could stand to learn.
And I guess to wrap it up, this election for the Supreme Court coming up is so important, isn't it?
It is very important. You have two candidates that are very right leaning and you have two candidates that are progressive and want to see the good. And I did listen to a debate last night. It was put on by Citizen Action. And the two candidates that did show up for this, Janet, I struggle with her last name.
I know.
Protaskiewicz and Everett Mitchell. They are both stellar candidates. And last night, Janet would even say, she said, you know what my values are, how I feel about this, but I cannot comment on this because I must remain impartial.
Right.
And that in itself speaks a lot. And Everett Mitchell, if you've ever heard any of his speeches that he gives, I was at a Coney party picnic up in Sawyer County this summer, and I literally cried when I heard how he was brought up, how he learned, and what he has become. It is tremendous.
Makes you sad that somebody tried to slime him quickly.
Very, very, very sad. And either one of those two candidates, though, are your best choices right there because they will move this state forward.
I tell you, I would have had a little more respect for the other two if they would have shown up at a forum like that.
If they would actually show up.
Just I mean, because nowadays you see so many on the right that refuse to engage. They'll go only on like conservative talk radio. I saw Jennifer Doro was on one of the conservative talkers in Milwaukee yesterday, and she put out.
Hey, well, you can listen
to my interview with Dan O'Donnell.
She's getting the free media through, or you know, living on her past, you know, with the Christmas parade thing, but. When it really comes down to it, you need to put yourself in front of the people and have the people asking you questions of what's important. And obviously, Janet and Everett are two candidates that want to do the right thing, and they want to know what you're thinking.
And I would encourage them to go in front of folks that aren't, you know, progressive as well. And I think we see that so much more with
the
progressives.
They both do a fabulous job because, I know, Janet, like I said, Janet said last night, you know what my values are, but as far as talking about a specific case, she's a judge. She has to have the facts before her to make a decision.
That sometimes makes it more difficult to run.
I think it would be very, very hard.
Anything you want to add before we wrap it up? We're down to our last minute or so. Anything else on your mind?
Just to beg the people of WASA to get engaged, and those of you who are, please remain engaged. It's very important, and if we all do a little bit, it won't take a lot out of anybody's time.
Being engaged, like you said, it's not easy, but boy, it's so well worth it.
Yes, it is.
Nancy, thank you again, and hopefully get you back on soon. Nancy Stensel again joining us here on Bow Falls Radio. Coming up, we're going to be joined by our meteorologist, Ray Miller, as my mind completely wanders away. We'll be talking about what's going on in the weather. And then I'm going to talk about what happened in the city council this week in that homeless issue. The fact that, they're going to talk about it, but what has to happen next? We're going to talk about that and some other news stories going on as we continue in hour number two of the program. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.